Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Half Year 2017 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Morning, guys. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the half year, which was a 24-week period to October the 16th, 2016. During the first half of our 2017 financial year, we have seen continued growth across key financial metrics. Revenue was up by 4.7% to 282.5 million, principally due to top-line growth across our network of KFC restaurants in Queensland, Western Australia, and Northern Territory, and the addition of restaurants in the New South Wales-Victoria border region. Underlying EBITDA increased by 9.4% to 38.6 million as a result of good flow-through from these extra revenues and the ongoing discipline around the management of costs. Underlying NPAT was up 17.2% to 16.8 million against the first half of FY 2016. To clarify, the underlying adjustments relate to, one, 1.3 million of pre-tax costs associated with the acquisition of the 13 KFC restaurants in the New South Wales-Victoria border region, comprising approximately 1 million dollars of stamp duty and about 300,000 of legal consultancy and setup costs. Two, about 500,000 dollars of legal and consultancy costs pre-tax associated with the acquisition of the 11 KFC restaurants in Germany. The third one is a 600,000 pre-tax income resulting from an insurance claim following a fire at a KFC restaurant in Queensland just over a year ago. Basic EPS at an underlying level was 0.178 per share, up 15.4% against the first half of FY 2016. Net operational cash flow was up 2.5 million to 26.3 million, driven by the strong EBITDA growth referred to earlier. Net debt has increased to 124.6 million from 117.4 million compared to this time last year, due mainly to the 15.3 million cash element of the acquisition costs of the stores in the New South Wales-Victoria border region. However, with the EBITDA growth, the net leverage ratio has now come down to 1.54 from 1.62 this time a year ago. An interim fully franked dividend payout of 0.08 per share will be made. This represents an increase of 33% to the prior half of the year. This dividend payout includes contribution from Western Australia and Northern Territory. Overall, the results reflect continued solid progress for Collins Foods Limited. If I could, I'd like to take you through the key highlights of the three brands. Overall, the KFC business had a reasonable first half. Same-store sales for the first half was marginally negative at -0.6% compared to prior year, as we cycled higher comps, with same-store sales returning to positive growth in the second quarter. However, the total revenue growth was 6.4% due to a combination of the new restaurants being opened since this time last year and the recent addition of the 13 restaurants from the New South Wales-Victoria border region. There was approximately three periods of revenue contribution from these 13 restaurants. One new restaurant was opened during the first half, and a further new restaurant has opened in the last few days post half-year end, with two more due to be opened over the next couple of months. Despite same-store sales growth being flat overall, margins were held due to the continued focus of controls around the key efficiency measures across the P&L, but particularly in the areas of labor and waste. The integration of the 13 restaurants purchased in the border region is progressing well, and we expect to announce completion of the purchase of the 11 KC restaurants in Germany in early December. In regards to Sizzler, same-store sales were better than expected at minus 0.6%, with good margin controls delivering improved EBITDA over the prior period. One restaurant was closed in the first half, with a further restaurant closing since the end of the first half. As has previously been indicated, we are not committing any further growth capital investment into the brand. Sizzler Asia continues to grow and contribute positive earnings. Snack Stand continues to evolve. A new menu has been tested at the Pacific Fair Stand on the Gold Coast with positive early results. This new menu will be rolled out across all stands over the coming months. There is also activity underway to refresh and redefine the brand. We have 5 company-owned and 1 franchise stand. And now looking at each of the brands in a little bit more detail, starting with KFC. As noted earlier, despite softer same-store sales, KFC continues to grow in revenue and store count, with total revenue up 6.4% on last year's half. Same-store sale comps were a negative 0.6 for the first half as we rolled over higher comps from the prior half year. However, same-store sales returned to positive growth of around 1.5% in the second quarter, with similar trading post the half year. A total of 2 new restaurants are now open since the end of the last financial year, one within the half and one a few days ago. One restaurant was closed during the half. The total KFC restaurant count as of today now stands at 191, with 132 in Queensland, 45 in Western Australia and Northern Territory, and 13 in the New South Wales-Victoria border area. This is one more that is indication on the presentational deck due to the recent opening post the completion of the half. KFC EBITDA at the half grew by 6% from 39.9 million to 42.3 million, with the first half margin now at 16.9% compared to 17% a year ago. The performance of the KFC restaurants in New South Wales, Victoria border region have been very pleasing so far, and we do see the opportunity for some margin growth in this region over time. The one-off items in the KFC in the first half was the $600,000 of pre-tax income resulting from an insurance claim following a fire at a KFC restaurant in Queensland. And this is offset by a portion of the setup costs relating to the acquisition of the 13 restaurants. The KFC business continues to be focused on delivering great products that enhance the brand and which our customers love. Within our core product portfolio, we launched a number of new and innovative products during the first half. To call out a few, flatbread sliders, which is essentially boneless chicken inside soft flatbread. We also had a product, Cola Barbecue Wings, which was a great product, and we got a lot of kudos for that one. The other one that we wanted to note was just the pumpkin and feta cheese, which was a grilled chicken fillet with pumpkin and feta in a tortilla wrap. All of these were popular and successful in their own rights, as well as having somewhat of a halo effect to the overall brand. We brought back some great value offers, such as the 24 nuggets for $10. These remain a key component of our customer offer and a strong contributor to our transaction growth. These offers sit alongside our ongoing value offers, such as $9.95. Family meals and box meals continue to play an important part in our customer proposition. They have a broad appeal across age groups and represent great value. Moving to page 6, our restaurant build and remodel program continues to drive growth. One restaurant was opened the first half, and this was at Warner in Queensland, which is just in the northwest of Brisbane. Another has just recently opened post the half year at Oxenford, which is on the highway at the northern end of the Gold Coast. Both are tracking at this point ahead of internal benchmarks. Noosaville and Redbank Plains are expected to open over the coming months. Both of these restaurants are located in the southeast of Queensland. The current expectation is that we will have opened between 6 and 7 new restaurants by the end of the full financial year. A total of 18 remodels were completed, which together with the new opening represents capital spend of circa $8 million, Of the 18 remodels, 11 were completed in Queensland, with a further 7 in Western Australia and Northern Territory. Full year CapEx spend at KFC Australia is expected to be approximately $30 million. I'd like just to take the chance to talk about our recent move into Germany. As previously announced on the 31st of October, we entered into a binding agreement to purchase 11 KFC restaurants from the franchisor, Yum Brands, in Germany. We believe this is a significant growth opportunity for us in the world's fourth biggest economy, that a significant underrepresentation of the KFC brand. To give you some comparisons, there are currently 142 KFC restaurants in Germany against 1,500 McDonald's and over 700 Burger Kings. Looking at it another way, for every 37,000 people in Australia, there is one KFC, whereas in Germany, there is only one KFC per 580,000 people. The KFC stores are mainly owned by the remaining KFC stores are mainly owned by a relatively fragmented group of franchisees with no dominant player. In the last 4 years, the market has begun to scale up, with KFC store count increasing by approximately 50% during this time frame. We see this as an excellent time to play a significant part in the growth of this market. Furthermore, we see the entry into Germany as a platform to expand more broadly into other parts of Europe. To recap on the deal, we have purchased two clusters of stores, 6 in the broader Dusseldorf region, which is on the western part of Germany, and a further 5 in the Stuttgart region, which is in the southwest, for a total of €12.7 million. This price will be subject to the usual adjustments for inventory, cash, and employment liabilities. These stores have a trailing 12-month sales of approximately €22.5 million. We have a short-term plan to open 4 to 5 restaurants per year over the next 2 years, increasing to around 10 restaurants per year in the following years. This is really a great opportunity to leverage Collins Foods' core operational expertise to expand in other markets. We expect to announce the completion of this deal in early December. Moving our attention to Sizzler on page 10. Overall revenue for Sizzler was down by 11.1% from 35.1 to 31.2. This was driven by same-store sales decline of 0.6% and the closure of 2 restaurants since the end of the first half of FY16. However, the focused management of costs has seen margin increase despite declining sales. We continue to monitor the performance of the remaining Sizzler Australian restaurant closely and will take appropriate action as and when necessary. Since the half year, one further restaurant has closed, so today's store count for Sizzler Australia is 20. Sizzler Asia continues to contribute steady earnings growth in cash. Royalty revenue is up 15% in the first half compared to the prior half year. 4 new restaurants are built in the half, 2 in China and 2 located in Thailand. It's expected a further 2 restaurants will open in the remainder of this current financial year. Overall, EBITDA for Sizzler is at $2.7 million for the first half, up $600,000 on prior year, with both Sizzler Australia and Sizzler Asia independently being up on prior year. I'd now like to hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Okay, thanks, Graham. So turning to slide 13, this shows pre-acquisition cost cash flow remains very positive. Net operating cash flows before interest and tax up to $38.3 million from $34.7 million prior half year, reflecting the EBITDA improvement referred to earlier. Net interest payments were very similar to the last half year, and income tax payments were $1.2 million higher than prior half year. The increased income tax payments is a timing difference, as it is to do with the increase in the rate of instalment payments made during the half year in advance of the end of year tax assessment and payment. Capital cash spend is up on the last half year by $3.9 million due to the cash payment of invoices accrued at the end of FY16. The full year spend is expected to be around $32 million in line with previous years. Acquisition costs relate to the $15.3 million cash component of the costs to purchase the 13 KFC restaurants in the New South Wales-Victoria border region, mitigated by 0.3 million of cash assumed when we purchased the remaining 50% of Snagstand. Overall, there was a net cash outflow of 12 million for the half compared to an inflow of 5.4 million last half year. The strong results are enabling an interim fully franked dividend of 8 cents per share, up 2 cents per share on prior year, an increase of 33%. The dividend policy will be to pay out approximately 50% of NPAT. I'm now on slide 14, and that shows the net leverage ratio is 1.54 at the half year compared to 1.52 at the end of FY16. We are extremely pleased with our ability to keep this ratio at this level, despite the investment in the purchase of new stores in the New South Wales Victoria border region. Overall net debt increased to 124.6 million at the half, compared to 112.5 million at the end of FY16. We remain focused on the discipline of cash management and operate well within our covenant headroom. Our current revolving syndicated credit facility is $200 million. Moving to slide 13 and the balance sheet, the net debt position is up as referred to earlier. Property, plant and equipment is up 5.1 million, reflecting the acquisition of the 13 KFC restaurants. Continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation in accordance with our policy. Net assets are up to 207.7 million from 189.7 million at the end of FY16.
Finally, a word on the remainder of the FY17 year. But we will continue to focus on growing our business in the KFC through existing central sales growth, the opening of new restaurants, expectation of between 6 and 7 by the year end, and continued remodeling of existing ones. And we will continue to explore acquisition opportunities within Australia. We will also do this while maintaining a disciplined focus on operational improvement and margins within the brand. We will complete and integrate the 11 KFC restaurants in Germany. And additionally, we'll continue to refine the Snag model with the rollout of the new menu and brand refresh. We'll now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Tim Plum of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Great result given the softer like-for-likes. Graham, just wondering if you might be able to go into a little bit more detail in terms of the cost base in the first half of 17. I know that you mentioned labour and reduced waste. Could you maybe talk a little bit about cost inflation within COGS in terms of chicken prices, in terms of wage cost increases and what you're seeing in marketing expenses? And then the second part of the question, if you're able to hold margins flat given softer like-for-likes and they're now tracking at plus 1.5, does that mean in the second half we should be able to assume a pretty reasonable uplift on the 15.7% margins that you did in the second half of last year?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Tim. Just in terms of the cost pressures, if I look at COGS as the first one, our chicken pricing is flat and has been flat for a little while and will continue to remain that way until early 2018. A number of our other food products, which are commodity-based, are remaining fairly flat. And so overall, we're not seeing a lot of cost pressures around our COGS. From a wage perspective, it's really just standard enterprise agreement increase that has come through on that. We spend quite a lot of time and effort re-looking at our labour and how we manage labour to make sure that we can get efficiencies and productivity measures in place to offset that. In terms of the balance of the year, in terms of Queensland, we are probably from a margin perspective, fairly optimised at this point in time, given our minimal pricing component that we're introducing. In Western Australia, there's probably a little bit of margin still to go. Though, as we mentioned before, it's a measured process of improving those margins. If you introduce productivity and efficiency measures in labour, it's really important that it's done in a disciplined way. Otherwise, it can unwind somewhat. So there is a bit in that, and as indicated, there is a little bit in the southern states. And so wouldn't expect a significant change in the margin over the back of the year.
Sorry, just to clarify, a significant change versus what you achieved in the first half or what you achieved in the second half of last year?
I would say in terms of the second half.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Your next question comes from Owen Humphries of Canaccord. Please go ahead.
G'day, guys. Can you hear me?
I can, yes, Owen.
Well done on the results. Just a question around that same-store sales growth for the second quarter. Were there any pricing rises in that quarter, or is it that just more, again, traffic growth, or just can you just provide a bit more detail around that positive 1%?
No, there was a small element of pricing that probably went in the quarter before that, but it was really small. There's a couple of things in there. One is that the prior year we had some pretty big numbers that we were rolling over, and that was probably skewed a little bit more in the front end of the half than the back end, albeit that the whole half was a difficult half. So there was an element of that. And then, you know, certainly there is, the Queensland and Western Australia economy compared to the rest of the country has been going through a sort of a different cycle. From what we can see and what we can read, certainly starting to see some indication of early green shoots, let's put it that way, but early green shoots.
Right, into the second half, because obviously you're cycling 1.4% same-store sales growth for the second half of 16. It sounds as if the momentum in the business means that you'll likely exceed that number going forward, or it'll look like it'll grow upon that 1%. Is that your expectations?
Look, we don't give an outlook. All I've said is that in the 6 weeks since we've finished the year end, we've continue to see the same level of growth that we saw in the second half of the first half.
Sure. We've got two questions. One just around Sizzler Asia and Sizzler Australia. Can you break down the EBITDA contribution between Asia and Australia? Because I know one's basically all gross profit. The other one is, I suppose, it has a cost base to it. Can you just help me break down that 2 points? What was it, 2.7 mil?
Yeah, look, we from a segment reporting, we reported as one. Historically, we haven't sort of separated those two out.
Right, okay. And I suppose one thing I do have to ask about Germany, obviously it's a very large growth optionality for the business, but it sounds as if the brand awareness in Germany and broader Europe may be significantly lower than here in other parts of the world. Is there a large investment plan for marketing and brand awareness through that region as you do roll out new stores, or is it just same as usual?
Certainly, I think your point is valid in terms of Western Europe. The KFC brand is certainly underpenetrated, and I would say in the last 3 to 4 years has sort of moved quite substantially in the Western European area, including Germany, in terms of its positioning of itself. Historically, they've tended to go for the bigger cities into the more popular areas with higher real estate and the like, and over the last number of years have started to expand out into drive-thrus into the smaller cities. Which has proven successful for them. So Germany has a program where over the last 4 years they've increased the store count by about 50%. So it's up 142, and the expectation over the next coming years is to get over 300. So that's the expectations from the general manager running Germany. Now, one of the gains that you get from that, obviously, with greater distribution and what they've seen over the last 3 to 4 years, you get greater brand awareness. But you also get a greater contribution that goes into the marketing fund. Germany, as like some of the other Western European markets, from a TV perspective, is a national TV. Unlike in Australia, where we can run regional ones. So to actually go on TV is your starting point is really expensive. But as they've expanded more recently and the expected expansion going forward, it allows them to sort of go onto national TV, which obviously increases the whole brand awareness piece.
Good one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ian.
Your next question comes from James Ferrier of Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Graham, Nigel. Congratulations on the result.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
First question's on the KFC sales growth. There was probably a larger delta on same-store sales growth versus the overall sales growth. And we're just wondering if there was anything in particular around the contribution from new stores opened last year and perhaps refurbs in terms of what they're contributing now versus what your expectations were. Maybe they exceeded your expectations.
So that's the delta between the total system and same stores?
Correct.
Yes. So included in there is about 3 months of the additional 13 stores that we got down south.
Even adjusting for that.
Yeah, so you're talking about the difference between the overall revenue up of 6.4 and the same store sales of minus 0.6.
Yeah, and then when you exclude the New South Wales Victoria contribution,
so
was there anything
that's what you referred to actually, James, which is the impact of new stores that were built in previous periods coming through and actually being fully open and recording six 24 weeks of sales.
That's right, and I'm wondering if that contribution has exceeded your expectation.
Look, it's probably increased a little bit in terms of some of the remodel effect. We've had a couple of new stores that have opened well.
Yeah, okay. And then on the same store sales growth, could you provide a little bit of comment around the performance in different geographic areas and also perhaps each day of the week? Obviously, Tuesday historically has been a big growth driver for you and whether that's still the case?
Certainly. From our perspective, we see Queensland still has been stronger than Western Australia in a general sense. Not significant difference. I think the Queensland economy benefits more from tourism and education, so that it is a little bit more balanced than the Western Australia. But in both of those, we've seen the sales return and grow in those two areas.
And day parts, or sorry, days of the week.
Tuesday in Queensland is still a big day for us. Recently we had 9.95 run in one of the pods. So Tuesday is now our biggest day, followed by a Friday, but not seeing a lot of change in the rest of the days out of the kilter.
Okay. And I think it was Tim earlier asked a question about margins. You talked about poultry prices still being quite flat. We see livestock or beef prices have had significant increases in the last couple of years. What are you seeing in the market around the pricing of your menu versus your peers?
I think there is a bit more price pressure cost pressure rather on the some of our I suppose our beef compatriots in the marketplace. It is fairly competitive at this point in time, so we're not really seeing anybody at this in the last little while sort of stepping out of line significantly. There was some pricing a couple of years back that the Burger Boys took, which was you know fairly substantial, but not of late.
Okay, and the final question from me: we saw a decline in the shared service costs. Is there any particular driver of that? Any particular reason?
Look, there is an element of bonus that comes into that, and then there is obviously sort of differences in acquisition costs and stuff like that. But no structural changes in our G&A.
Okay, great. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Stephen Scott of Contango Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Just a quick question. Can you just remind us, once you've remodeled the stores, what the sort of uplift on average might be in some sort of, you know, over time?
Hey, Stephen. The remodel one is actually a fairly complex one because it depends on whether it's a minor remodel, a major remodel, whether it's a total scrape and build. But if you look at the portfolio of assets and the general uplift, we're probably looking somewhere between a 5% and 7% sales increase. And through those. But that's very average. Yeah. That's very average because it does. I mean, if you do a minor upgrade, you might be spending 50 to 100,000, which technically is you're changing wall murals, you're refreshing furniture, you're repainting. You really don't get a significant lift from that. On the flip side, if you do a complete scrape and build, you can get substantial increase in sales on that because you've removed a whole bunch of constraints, especially around the drive-through that might have been there 30 or 40 years ago when they built their restaurant.
And so does that uplift sort of hang around for a few years, or is it ongoing, or is it sort of a one-off and then it sort of fades a bit over time?
Yeah, look at the step change and then halt.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen.
Your next question comes from Daniel Stein of Altair. Please go ahead.
G'day, guys.
Hey, Daniel.
Hi.
Just wondering, with respect to Germany, it seems like the medium-term target is for 300 stores. I'm just wondering, looking a bit further down the track, does that keep growing over time?
We do believe it will do. If I use Australia just as a really high-level comparable, there's about 1,000 McDonald's and there's sort of 620, 630 KFC. So there's probably a two-thirds sort of percent ratio. Now, I can't directly extrapolate it across to Germany, which would put it at about 1,000 KFCs. But certainly we do see over the longer term, Germany being able to grow more than the 300 that the GM came out and spoke about.
Okay. Just wondering, with the boxes you bought, are they mainly standalones or with a drive-thru?
Yes, 9 of them are freestanding drive-thrus. One is a inline and one is in a new mall.
Can you talk a bit about, the margins in those businesses and, after you have head office costs?
Certainly. So, at this point in time, margins sort of sit around the 12 points at a store level. Part of our interest is we do see some opportunity within that area as we move forward. The second part of your question with head office costs, we're in the process of recruiting some above store staff to run the business. We do see the business being run out of Germany. And we want to make sure that here in Australia we keep an absolute focus on our business in hand. We need, obviously, to grow our base from 11, you know, just from a an overheads perspective within the market. But effectively, the above store there is more of an operational rather than a corporate component.
Understood. CapEx investment, or are they in pretty good shape?
Yeah, no, the stores are in pretty good shape. I think the oldest one is probably 2001. So probably about 15, 16 years in the oldest one. And then there's a couple of newer ones. So yeah, they're in pretty good shape, yeah. A little bit different to some of them to Australia. There are a few that you can see from the graphic. There's a few double stories, which is not something that we typically see in Australia, but it's more of a constraint in terms of land and parking requirements.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Daniel Sini of IML. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. I'm just wondering, with the store rollout that you've mapped out for Germany, what does the group CapEx look like with that included?
I mean, we're expecting around €800,000 per build. This is sort of your average. Now, it does vary whether it's a drive-through or in-line. Typically, the arrangements in Germany, not too dissimilar to Australia, is that the landlord will provide the land and the physical shell, and then there is a fit-out cost. So far as CapEx, is sort of sits around the 800.
Okay, and so the underlying CapEx in the Australian business will continue around that 30 mil plus those sort of numbers in Germany. Is that how to think about it?
In Australia we probably see the CapEx coming off slightly. Let me step back. There's two parts of the CapEx in Australia. So of the 30 odd million for KFC, roughly half of it is growth CapEx, which is funding in this case the 67 new builds per year, and then the other half roughly sort of sits in a series of remodel and maintenance. So certainly as we finished our remodel catch-up program and going back now into a standard remodel cycle, we should see the Queensland CapEx come off a little bit, maybe a million or so off its current run rate. However, the growth CapEx really depends on the amount of new builds that we'll undertake. And we've come out and we've said that we believe that there's probably 5 to 6 new stores per year over the next sort of 3 to 4 years. So we're comfortable with that level of runway growth for new builds in the Pacific areas that we currently operate.
Okay, thank you. And I see there's some revenue disclosed for this snack stand business in the segmentals. Is there any prospect of getting more confident with investment in that business model going forwards, or is it still kind of a slow burn?
Like all startups, you know, it goes through its growing pains. So we've done a lot of work on it. We have a new sort of menu positioning, which is a critical component of where we're going. So instead of it just being a snag in the form of I suppose what is traditionally like a hot dog, we're now focusing on the snag itself. And taking it out in a variety of different formats. So there will be your traditional, I suppose, gourmet snag in a roll. There'll be you know, snags and wraps. There'll be snags with salads. There'll be snags with spuds. So there'll be a variety of ways of elevating, I suppose, the humble snag into a much broader appeal rather than just purely through the traditional sort of hot dog format.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.